flying up high, just like a bird in the sky.
And I'll be leaving this world, yes, I'll be saying goodbye.
And I'll have nothing to lose and everything to gain when they call out my name.
Some morning soon, I'm gonna take to the air. I'm gonna leave this world of sorrow and care.
I'll hear the welcome bells all ringing.
Homeward I'll be swinging when they call.
vast deserts. They were so hot and dry, till it seemed all hope was gone, and I would die. And I've wondered, where was he? Is he still a friend of mine?
Have your Bibles with you this morning. We'd invite you to turn with us to the book of Jeremiah in the second chapter and 12th verse. Jeremiah, Julia's contagious. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 12. If you would, hold your thumb there, or marker there, and turn over to the book of St. John in the 7th chapter. Jeremiah chapter 2, St. John chapter 7. I thank God that He is right on time. He knows our needs before we ask Him. Young folks, I like that song that you sang about the chickens and the ducks and the cows. And Bible talks about that even nature yearns for the day of His coming. And I know, choir, and I know, church, today, that one of these days that my name is going to be called, and I'm going to answer to that call. Just so good to be in God's house, isn't it? It'd be my desire that one of these men sitting on the front row to my right would have preached this morning. That would have been my desire. And brethren, if I've missed it, it'll be on me. It won't be on you. You have been obedient to the Lord and come to His house this morning, come where that He led you, and I appreciate that. And there may be a day coming here in the next weeks or days to come that we'll get to hear them preach, and I'm not afraid of any of them. This is fell our lot, and I don't really like to say that it's fell our lot, because it's when the Lord comes on the scene, there's nothing I'd rather do than stand behind this desk and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. You pray for just a minute this morning that God would have His will and way in this hour, as He already has, that He would use us, and that He would use you, that we might be obedient to Him. 7th chapter of St. John, beginning in the 37th verse. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now don't lose that place and turn back over to the book of Jeremiah. Second chapter, 12th verse. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. May God richly add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Jesus had come to the temple during a holy feast. Bible calls it the Feast of Tabernacles, and we can go all the way back to Moses' time and see where God had instructed Moses that he set aside these 8 days of feast, 8 days of worship, 8 days of service to God. And I begin to think about this, that maybe that Feast of Tabernacles would not too much unlike our revival that we have in the summer. When we start on Sunday morning and we finish up on Sunday morning. If we count those up, you mathematicians, if you start on Sunday and end on Sunday, you'll have 8 days. And God instructed Moses, He said, now Moses, He said, I want you to realize something, that on the 8th day, He said, it'll be a day of holy convocation. Go back and look in the book of Deuteronomy and see where He said, this will be a day of holy convocation unto you. You know what? I didn't know what convocation meant, and I went and I began to try to search God's Word and try to find out. And convocation means a holy invitation. The 8th day was a day of a holy invitation to the children of Israel, that they come and listen this morning. Let me just, if you'll bear with us just for a minute, let me tell you what they did during the Feast of the Tabernacles. The Bible said that each day that they would meet, they would bring an offering to God, and they would place it on the altar. And listen, it was given as a sacrifice to the 70 nations that they knew in that time. Listen, church, today, bless your heart. How many of us would be willing to put others first in our convocation, in our sacrifice, and in our offerings to God? Church, I'll tell you what, there's a great need at Silver City Baptist Church. There's a great need in our communities that you and I, as God's saved people, that we sacrifice, that we put others first in our prayers. I don't know if you're like me or not, but most of the time, when I go pray, brethren, you know what I do? I say, Lord, bless me. Lord, help me. Church, listen. When we go to pray, whoo, thank you, Lord. When we go and pray, we need to pray even as Jesus instructed the disciples to pray. When they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. I didn't know he's going to get into all that, but that's all right. It feels pretty good. Yes, it does. You know what Jesus told them? He said, listen.
son. He said, when you pray, you pray like unto this. He didn't say you have to pray these exact words. But he said, when you pray like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Listen, church. Glory today, as the children sang about the cows and the ducks and the chickens, as the next group came up and they sang, worthy is the Savior to be praised. Listen, church, we ought to praise God in all that we do. And listen, glory this morning, all that I've heard, thank you, Lord, since I've came to Silver City, is what your motto is, for the glory of God. Listen, church, those men back in Jesus' day, those priests would come together, and you know what they'd do? They'd go down there, and they bring up that of a sacrifice, one each day, one each of the 7 days, for the 70 nations, that God might be merciful unto them. But listen, it came upon that eighth day, that great day, that day of holy convocation. The Bible teaches us that the priest would come. Listen, they would come with the trumpeters. They'd come with the dulcimers. They'd come with all the instruments. And you know what they would do? They'd leave the temple. And they'd go down to the pool of Siloam. Brethren, there. And they'd take that golden vessel that they'd taken out of the temple, and they'd dip it in that pool of Siloam, and they'd begin to march back to the temple. Listen today, church, can't you see them as they begin to march? The priest with the water coming. Woo, glory for a water sacrifice. Listen, and all those men behind them blowing the trumpets, Sean, and playing the instruments, and the people shouting Hosanna to the King. Lift up the King, the blessed name. Listen, church today, for the glory of God. They begin to march to the temple of God. And you know what they done? That water that they brought from the pool of Siloam, they took it, and on that eighth day, they pour that water out on the coals of the altar. Listen, I'll tell you what, church, if that ain't a sign of New Testament times, I don't know what is. Bless your heart, the day of sacrifice is over. A lost person, you may try to give your money to the church. You may try to work for the United Way. You may volunteer your time. But bless your heart. The Bible says that to obey is better than sacrifice. And if you're depending on your works to get you into heaven, you'll die and go to a devil's hell. Yes, you will. Bless your heart. I'm glad, brethren, this morning that it's by faith and not by works, or I'd have never made it. Tim, you ain't made it yet. Bless your heart. I just as well have. I'm on my way. Yes, I am. They poured out that fire on the altar with that water. They come from the pool of Siloam. Listen, you know what? They begin to look for Jesus. He wasn't at the Feast of the Tabernacles. They's already mixed up about where he was and who he was. Some of them thought that he was a devil. Some of them thought that he was a prophet. Some of them thought he was John the Baptist raised from the dead. But bless your heart, Roger, Barry, and Julie, here come Jesus right on time. Oh, glory! He come into the temple. And there, the Bible said that he took his place as his custom was. We read on St. John, the 7th chapter, on the 37th verse. Brethren, the way that they taught that day, as they would sit down and they would open the scriptures and they would begin to impart what God had laid on their heart. In other words, they preached sitting down. I don't believe I could do that. Could you? Something will get a hold of me and I can't help it. Listen, the Bible says, confess your faults one to another. Let me tell you this. There was a time when I tried to change the way that I preached. And brethren, I couldn't do it. Forgive me, Lord. Bless your heart today. Christian folks, you be what God called you to be. Don't you worry about the way that Tim Biddy did it or what he would expect. But you worry about what Jesus thinks. Listen, Jesus, the custom was that he sit and read the scriptures to him. Now listen, whoa, I hope y'all are with me. I can just see this so plain this morning. Listen, the people, they hadn't been to the temple in 6 months. Listen, honey, it's almost time for the revival, the Feast of the Tabernacles to be over. And they were getting ready to go home. And listen, Jesus stood. The Bible said that he got up from where he was. And he stood. And he cried. And he just simply told them. He said, if you'll believe on me, he said, I'll cause rivers of life to flow out from your belly. Listen, they thought in that day that the soul of man came from the belly. We say it's the heart, but it's the same thing. Do you remember what Jesus told a little woman at the well one time when he said, if you'll believe on me, he said, I'll cause within you a well of water springing up in the everlasting life. Glory to God. I'm glad that I've got a well within me that springs forth into everlasting life today. And I'll tell you what, sometimes, church, when things happen, boy, I wish y'all could have been here Wednesday night. When things happen like they did on Wednesday night, when people get up and they begin to testify, when people begin to raise holy hands, when you begin to see the tears begin to flow, I'll tell you what, church, that well of water that springs up into everlasting life. It's going to get some folks around them wet, ain't it? Listen, I'll tell you what. You do like the children sing. You just let your light shine to all those around. This morning, church Jesus, he stood up and he cried. He knew there was some that he'd never see again. There'd be some that wouldn't make it back to the next tabernacle feast. There'd be some that never have an opportunity to hear the gospel. And he wanted them to have that of eternal life. Church, this morning, if God permits, if he tarries his coming in a few months, we've planned to have a spring revival. In a few months after that, a summer revival in church camp. Bless your heart. Church, are we concerned enough that this morning that we would wait, that we would pray, that God would pour out his convicting spirit on lost boys and girls and men and women. The Bible don't say the fourth week in June is the days of salvation. It says today is the day of salvation. A lost person, don't you wait till a more convenient time. Listen, why we all love water, don't we? Jesus said, I'll cause to flow out of your belly a river of water. You can go down that river behind my house, and it's nearly dried up. You know, I thought about this back in 1924. There's a drought around this part of North Georgia that we haven't ever seen before. The creeks begin to dry up. The lakes begin to dry up. The springs begin to dry up. Why, there's a little old family up on Highway 183 that had a spring that just kept flowing. And you know what folks would do? They'd come on their horses and their buggies and their little old cars, and they'd bring with them pots and jugs that they might get some water out of that spring. Listen, church, today, bless your heart, the world is looking to you and I. They're looking to someone to point them the way to where the water is, the living water of Jesus Christ. Why? Jeremiah began to prophesy to the children of Israel. And he said, be ye afraid. Be ye frightened. Listen, church, we need to be afraid and frightened about the condition that the world's soul salvation is in. Jeremiah said, my people, he wasn't talking about the lost. He wasn't talking about those that were sin sick. But he said, my people, I have committed two sins. Listen, what kind of shape are we in? Church, this morning, Jeremiah said they've committed two sins. One is that they've forsaken the living water. Church, there's too many places today where they've taken the altar out of the church. There's too many places today where they've said you can come and sign a card. There's too many places where the pastor, the church, comes down to a person who's under conviction and says, just repeat after me and I'll tell you you're saved. Listen, church, today, don't forsake the living water. I want you to know that my salvation is a personal experience between between me and Jesus Christ and nobody else. Glory! Woo today! Church, I wouldn't trade what I have in Jesus Christ with any of you. I don't even know if any of you has ever been saved or not. Tim, that's harsh. Bless your heart. Something must have happened to you one time. I can see the fruits that you've bore. But brethren, sisters, saved people, lost people, I got something when I was just a 9-year-old boy that I'm not going to trade. And I'll tell you what, I wouldn't trade it for all the money in the world. Jeremiah said, my people have forsaken the living water that I've given to them. And then you know what else he said? He said, they're bringing cisterns, making cisterns. In other words, they was trying to build up a little old lake where that living water could go in. Some of you geography majors and history majors know that the Dead Sea, John, I believe I heard you preach about it here a while back, that the Jordan River flows into the Dead Sea and it just stops up. And that lake, the Dead Sea, it ain't good for anything. It's salty. You couldn't drink it if you wanted to. Church, sometimes we think that tradition is Baptist doctrine. I'm here to tell you this morning that it's not. It's good that we've got a form. It's good that we've got a way of doing things. But I'll tell you what, anything that my grandfather did, if it's not in the Bible, it's useless to us. Listen, church, this morning, we've taken what our grandfathers made do with, and we've called that doctrine today. But all it was just a way to be able to worship God in the day and the time that they lived in. Listen, I'll tell you what, church, you stay with what Jesus said that you must be born again, and the rest of it will take care of itself. Jeremiah said to the people, they've forsaken the living water, and they tried to bottle it up. They tried to hang on to it. But I'll tell you what today, church, Jesus has got living water, and out of that well, it'll never run dry. Wednesday night will just be a foretaste of what God will do for us in our life. And I'll tell you what, church, when Jesus stood up and he cried unto the people there, he had a sincere desire for lost folks to be saved. Listen, come, get a song. I know this has been scattered, but bless your heart, I hope, and I pray this morning that you can see how that Jesus, how he came. Some accused him of trying to change the law. Some of them accused him of trying to mix things up. But Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. It's appointed unto you, every one of us, to die, and after death, the judgment. Bless your heart. Y'all just have to wait a minute. Listen, I'll tell you what, y'all can run me off if you want to, but I want you to know this morning that the only predestination that God predestined us to is that we'd have an opportunity to be saved. Glory Every one of us has been elected by God Himself to hear the gospel and have conviction come on your heart. Listen, this morning I love you. Oh, yes, I do. But this is serious. You can get mad at me if you want to, and that'll be all right. I'll move over out of the way. But you come and be saved. While we stand and sing, this altar is open. What's our number? Listen this morning, lost person. Bless your heart. You don't have to come and have Tim Biddy pray with you. You don't to have me here for you to be saved. Go ahead and sing. Come, lost person this morning. If your name is not written on the Lamb's Book of Life, you need to be saved. Yes, you do. Church, pray. Church, pray. There's a great need this morning. I stand before you today. Somebody is here that don't know Jesus and the free pardon of sin. And He's speaking to their heart. Letting them know that they're lost. Letting them know that if the death angel called, that they would die and not go to heaven. If they die, go to a devil's hell. You may be 9 years old. You may be 30 years old. You may be 100 years old. If your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I didn't say at Silver City Baptist Church, you know what? We've got one of the best clerks here at Silver City that I have ever seen. And I'm not trying to lift him up, but we have. But you know what, Michael? I don't trust you with my soul's salvation. I don't trust your deacons with my soul's salvation. I don't trust the Baptist faith with my soul's salvation. You must be born again. What about it today? Are you here? Do you know Jesus as a personal Savior? You know what we like today? I ride motorcycles and I like to customize and personalize my motorcycle. We like everything that we've got personalized. We like personal bankers. We like our clothes to be different. These ladies, they won't wear the same dress as somebody else if they've got the same. They want to have their own personal stuff, each one of us do. You've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you? Do you have a personal relationship with Him? Tim, how do I get it? Would you come and kneel on this front bench and ask Jesus to save you? And I promise you, on the authority of God's Word, if you'll ask Him, He will save you. While we sing one more verse, will you come? Will you come? Would you come? Come.
I'm not going to worry you anymore. We want to sing one more verse. And I want each person, I want all these preachers right here, in the next row, in the next row, and all the way back around, to ask yourself, if the death angel came, where would I spend eternity? And if this isn't heaven, would you make your way to this altar? It's easy. Jesus stood and he cried and he said, if you'll just believe in me, if you'll just accept me, he said, I'd give you eternal life. What about it? Men start. While they sing another verse, this row start all the way to the back. Do you know where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend it? Amen. What about it? Do you have a personal relationship with Him? Do you? Jesus loves you. He wants to save you. That's all it takes this morning. It's not about Tim. It's not about your husband. It's not about your wife or your father or your mother. It's about you and Jesus. What about it? Would you just step out? Would you kneel where you are and ask Jesus to save you?